Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith, trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders, and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Grab that happiest thought out of your head there and use it to fly away to Neverland with me, your head lost boy Jeremy, also known as the Spider-Pan. And if you have not yet become an official Neverlander, lost boy or pixie, because girls are too clever and they don't get lost, make sure you visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com and come up with a nickname. Give us your nickname, because all lost boys and pixies have to have a nickname. Go to the Neverlanders page and pick out a nickname and have fun with it. Give us something descriptive. Tell us why you picked that nickname and become an official Neverlander. It doesn't cost anything. It's just fun. We've got, speaking of fun, a very fun show. I've got a couple of special guests. James and John from That Story Show will be joining me. We'll have a great discussion about the classic Disney Channel. Yes, we're getting to talk about something vintage, and we're hoping it's a preview of what we might find on Disney Plus. And speaking of Disney Plus, we found out some really hot news about Disney Plus that has me very, very excited. The classic 90s Spider-Man, X-Men, Incredible Hulk, and more animated series from the past are all on Disney Plus. Now, how do we know this? There's been a preview in the Netherlands. And if you're in the Netherlands and you're getting to watch Disney Plus, I envy you. I would really wish I could get a hold of it and look at it now. They're getting to look at it for free, even. And I don't think we're going to get a preview here in the United States. But I'm all signed up. I'm ready for 3 years. I've already got it paid for. Did that little special thing with D23. Now I'm just waiting for November 20th. We're only about, we're close to just 2 months away. So it's coming. And we're even close to another Star Wars film, The Rise of Skywalker, coming up very, very soon. So lots of exciting things coming up for Disney fandom to look forward to and to be excited about. And I'm very excited for Disney Plus. But especially, I mean, I was already sold for it anyway, but finding out about these animated series being available on there, and now I have seen some people who would rather, of course, have physical media released of this, and sure, I'd love to have physical media, but I will take what I can get. Yes, I'm having to pay like a subscription fee, and if they ever pull it off, it's gone, but I'll take what I can get at this point. I just want to be able to watch them, and who knows, maybe with having easier access to these old series, maybe we'll fire up the Marvel Toon Fest, Tooncast again. The Mighty Marvel Tooncast. Remember, I used to do that with Tim Nidell. Tim has gotten to where he's so busy, he really can't do that show with me anymore. So I'm thinking maybe I'll find a different co-host to join me on that. Maybe Lost Boy Philip. We'd have fun talking about old Marvel shows, that's for sure. So maybe I'll bring that show back. You know, we were trying to do it like twice a month. So be on the lookout. I'll work on that idea. I've been thinking about it. I've also had some other show ideas in my head that I've thought about doing. But anyways, but that's kind of where things have been at with that for some extra shows. But I'm just really, really excited about that. Also, but I did accidentally slip the word Toonfest in there. There was some concerns I had seen on the Toonfest Facebook page that this would be the final Toonfest. And it, you know, I was going to try to have Kay Mallins on the show this week, but she was just too busy and couldn't do it. But she did say that Toonfest is just going to undergo some changes because they've been doing it the same way for over a decade now. And they just thought maybe next year they'll try something a little different with Toonfest. I don't know what exactly that means. Maybe I'll find out next week because Toonfest is next Saturday, September 21st. I'm planning to be there, of course. I'll be there before 10 a.m. so I can start filming the parade. And, of course, the videos that I film, I will get it online as quick as I can. I haven't really had much luck with trying to stream things because there's not a really good strong internet usually from there or a good strong sprint signal for my phone because it is in a small town area. So, but I will, of course, get any audio and whatever I can, and we'll see who all I meet up with up there. I know of at least one person I think is planning to be there. And I did talk with James Kennison of That Story Show and tell him about the event. I don't know if he's coming up bringing his family. He's a big Disney fan. His family goes to Walt Disney World frequently. So I don't know if he's going to be coming up there or not. But you're going to hear from James and his co-host, John, very, very soon. And in fact, there's no sense in me waiting around here. Let's just jump into that content. It's lots of fun, and it's pretty funny. But they do come from a comedy podcast, and I'll tell you all about it here with the recording that I made with them earlier this week.
To Disney and beyond.
All right, Neverlanders, we have some special guests today, and a very fun and special topic that I think you're going to enjoy. I know I'm going to have fun, because I actually popped up on their show, I guess it's been about a month ago. We had a good time. They're pretty funny people. Well, they better because they are on a comedy podcast called That Story Show. And we just like to call them James and John. So hello, James and John.
Hey.
Hello.
I'm James.
I'm John.
And together we are, I don't know.
Skippy McGee and Friends.
Hooray! I don't know. It seemed
the
like
theme song was supposed to play right then, but oh, sorry.
Well, our theme song's already played. Complete other quotes. But we had discussed this even back when I was popping up to tell a really ridiculous story. Do you happen to remember what episode number that is? Well, if people go back and look for the Icicle Killer episode on That Story Show, you can come and check out. I had this really, really screwy story I shared with y'all. So it's a fun episode, and believe me, if you haven't been listening to their show and you just need a good laugh every once in a while, it's fun to listen to. I'm still digging through their back episodes because they range everything from funny injuries to really gross out stuff, which is only, I guess, funny because of the way James reacts, but James reacts the exact same way that I would, so I'm not really laughing at James so much. And then just really hilarious stories, sometimes involving guano.
Yeah, you were featured on episode 304.
304. So everybody go and check out that episode and then listen to everyone after that. And hey, check out Red School Bus. I started listening to that one, and that's if they're too rough for you on That Story Show, Red School Bus is sort of a lighter version. And it's,
if we're too rough for you, then you are overly sensitive. But yes, if we're too rough for you, then definitely go over to Red School Bus.
Yeah,
it's basically the same thing but with my daughter.
Yeah,
so,
and
yeah, a female voice usually helps, right?
Yeah,
and you two together are quite fun. I think your daughter got your sense
of
humor.
Thank you. Oh, I think you're talking about him. Okay.
Oh my goodness,
sorry, John.
Yeah,
well, you're funny too, John, but you're too much of a good person to really, you know. You have to have that little bit of wickedness in there sometimes to be funny.
I suppress it well, don't I?
Oh, indeed. Yes. Which, for anyone who maybe listens to That Story Show and this one, you would probably get the idea of John, how good of a person he is. Because every time he tells a story, we're just like, my goodness. It's like, I wouldn't have done that. I'd have punched that guy. How come you didn't punch that guy, John? So,
yes. I don't want to go to jail.
I can't go back. So, anyways.
Who told?
Anyways, but what we wanted to talk about was some classic Disney Channel, because you back in the 80s, you had to pay extra for the Disney Channel, and it was like getting HBO or Cinemax without the skin. You know?
Yeah.
Unless you had a satellite dish where you could move the dish and pirate the signal for a very limited time in the 80s. There were no such thing as scramblers. And there was such a thing as a de-scrambler that you could buy. And my parents went that route. And so we got Disney Channel for free.
Oh, your sneaky mother.
I can't remember what satellite it came in on, if it was Westar or, you know, whatever. But all the satellites had nicknames. And we had a motor that would move the dish and then stop right on point.
I'm picturing this. No, nearly double wide. It's more like a 1.5 trailer and this big satellite dish outside.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Big metal satellite dish, mesh.
Yeah, not those little ones like they used to have. Those big.
No, this is a full-size, you know, mini swimming pool-size dish sitting out in the yard with weeds all around it. But, you know.
Pine needles all stuck up in it and stuff.
And my mom could get all the Christian TV preachers that she wanted and we could get all of the Disney Channel that we wanted. So
we had some relatives that had a big satellite dish that they got us the WWF pay-per-views back in the day, so that's how I got to watch WrestleMania 3 is they recorded it off the satellite on a tape and let us have the tape, and like woohoo.
So well, awesome. Disney Channel back then was completely unrecognizable compared to the Disney Channel of today.
Oh, no and kidding.
I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know what the Disney Channel today looks like. So,
there's not much to. Yeah. I mean, there's some pretty good cartoons. The new DuckTales is pretty good, and the new Mickey Mouse cartoons are pretty good.
Yeah,
but
my kids tell me, and I've got a kid that's 11 and another one that's 14, and they tell me that every show on Disney Channel now that it has humans in it is stupid.
Yeah,
and I don't know whether it's that they've outgrown it or if it's just a lot of kids talking. Because they do. There's a Disney Channel kid voice.
Yeah.
And they're all like, "Hi, Mr. Phillip. How are you today?" And they all talk like that. And they didn't used to talk like that back in, you know, even 10 years ago or something. So I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like when Nickelodeon started doing a bit more live action children's sitcoms, that Disney felt they needed to compete with that or something. And so then they started doing it, but then they lost track of what made Disney Channel special. Like, when I remember first watching it, the number one thing that I loved was watching Donald Duck Presents, which later became Quack Attack. And that's the first time I actually got to see a large grouping of Donald Duck cartoons and Goofy's sports cartoons. And
I love those. Oh, yeah.
That was like, and that came on every day before I had to walk to school. And so because one of the things that I think Warner Brothers has been smarter about than Disney is Warner Brothers has always had Looney Tunes very accessible. They were on every Saturday morning on major networks.
Yep.
But no one was really getting to see any Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse cartoons anymore until they get them on the Disney Channel. And then I watched the Dickens out of them things.
Oh, yeah.
Although back when I was a kid, because of the nature, because Mickey Mouse has certain eras, and when you get to the era where he starts to have the pupils or the full eyes after Fantasia, and he's mainly doing cartoons with Donald and Goofy, Donald and Goofy were funnier than Mickey, and so Mickey, I kind of like, oh, well, Mickey's fine, but I love Donald Duck. So I appreciate Mickey.
And there was a whole series in the late 80s, or a whole timeline, where it was faux pas to show Mickey in anything. Like, he would be on t-shirts and you know, stuff, merchandise, but not in video games, not in movies, not in shows. It was all comics and stuff about other things. I think they've only recently come and found that they need to change that with the new stream of the retro-styled Mickey Mouse cartoons, because you know, you do that and you rely on the fact that, oh, Mickey's famous, everybody knows him, and then you get a whole generation that doesn't understand why he's so iconic. So
he became kind of a protected brand because he was almost like the symbol of the company. And if you go and you watch the classic Mickey Mouse cartoons, especially even though black and whites, he's kind of a scoundrel. He's a rascal type of character.
Yeah.
But in the parks, he's so cleaned up and sanitary is the only word I can come up with that you don't understand why is this character such an icon, because he's a little bit cheesy and annoying in the parks compared to when you watch, because I mean, some of my favorite cartoons was Mickey when he's getting to be a little superhero guy, and he's like the Brave Little Taylor. I absolutely adore that cartoon. I mean, some of the classic ones.
All right, yeah.
Which I
killed five in one blow.
Yes,
my favorite is when they are ghost hunters.
Yes, the lonely ghosts.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, see, and those are all ones that we call them the vintage Mickey or Pie Eye to some people, because that's where you'd have in the comic strip. You'd have the Pie Eyes in that style. It seemed like Mickey had more of his personality at that time, and as you get a little bit later on, his personality just he became so sanitary.
Well, he almost became human. He's got, you know, flesh colored skin and, you know, eyeballs and eyebrows and everything. And my kids thought he was a little creepy until the latest round of comics, or cartoons.
Yeah.
So.
That's why I like these new cartoons. They've gotten Mickey back onto being a comedic character that he's supposed to be and not this sanitary symbol of the company.
And it works.
Yeah.
It works great.
They're really funny. The only thing I haven't liked is Goofy's redesign. I don't really care for that so much. He's a little bit...
Yeah, they gross. Went a little too scrubby with him.
Yeah.
My favorite Goofy cartoons, speaking of Disney, old Disney Channel, is the ones you mentioned where they were almost instructional videos. Right. On driving and how to golf and how to, you know, parent or whatever else he would do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he didn't even have ears. He would be called Mr. Geef, you know. Those are some of my favorites. But, yeah, so for them to go from that to, you know, it's it was a little harsh. Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm glad to have them though. They're good.
Part of what made those so funny is they were using legit instructions for these sports or activities, and they would actually go and find the rules for that.
I learned how to drive on a highway because of those, because it talks about merging and how many car lengths and how long it takes to stop from 55. Yeah.
I remember that cartoon specifically because Goofy was driving the car and, you know, they'd flash that stop sign up and then it took him so long to stop that car actually going across a football field.
And he would turn into a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of character once he got behind
the
wheel.
Wouldn't even hurt
a hand. Yes.
He was the evil motorist.
He got behind that wheel. Yeah.
And that was all on Disney Channel, man. Back then, they would put that thing on loop almost.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And boy, that one's still true to life, too, the way people drive.
Oh, I still every day think of that cartoon. Like the basic fact that you're supposed to be up to speed on the ramp before you merge with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
We got some kids that need to see that stuff now.
There are children that know this because they've seen the videos, but a grown adult that doesn't know that they shouldn't enter the highway doing 45 miles an hour. But
You shouldn't stop.
Yes, don't stop on the on-ramp.
No kidding. It's like, you're never going to get on.
What did he say? Two football fields to get up to speed from a stopping position? Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Goofy.
Yeah. You're welcome. He was always my favorite.
Yeah, you got to love Goofy.
And I always thought that he was related to Pluto.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, they're not that much different as far as their looks. Just one is running around on all fours and is yellow and the other one talks,
but they have the same head.
Yeah, that's why I always thought they were related. I guess
there's something weird. Goofy is some kind of freakish mutant.
He's evolved,
I guess. So he's learned to walk upright now. See, I'm picturing in my head, somebody needs to draw this, maybe I need this on a shirt, but you know, do the evolutionary walking start from Pluto and somehow work yourself up to Goofy.
There you go.
That'd be
awesome.
If I could draw really well, that would be my next T-shirt design that I'd put for sale.
Maybe James will do it for you. He's pretty good.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can afford James.
They probably some kind of copyright on the silhouettes of those characters. Anyway,
well,
if you
do it right and they're not exactly like that, then you can kind of get away with some stuff.
Don't wear it to Orlando.
And as long as you, because if you're doing it in silhouette, it probably wouldn't look exactly like, you know. So you don't know. There's some leeway. Sometimes you can get away with stuff. I don't know. Anyway, but the other big thing I remember watching, and people now apparently find these costumes to be incredibly creepy, but I loved watching Welcome to Pooh Corner.
I don't remember watching that myself.
Pooh Corner and Dumbo Circus were cut from the same cloth, and those shows were shows that were way too young for me when I was watching them, because I think I was in middle school or junior high back then, but there was nothing on because all we had was satellite, so it was either Bob Tilton, Kenneth Hagin, or Pooh Corner. And so Pooh Corner won out every time. I don't know that I know all the lyrics, but I do know the theme songs for Dumbo Circus and Pooh Corner.
Oh, yeah, I remember the theme song to that now.
Winnie the Welcome to you. It's me, Winnie the Pooh, and we have a happy hooky poo time.
Yeah, at Pooh Corner.
Now, some fun details on Pooh Corner is this is where you have Will Ryan, who everybody at Adventure Zone, if your fans will know as Eugene, plus he's done a lot of other voices for Disney, but Will Ryan was Rabbit. He's also in The Little Mermaid. He's the little... seahorse. He's a little seahorse.
He's a seahorse.
He's a seahorse. He's also Willie the Giant. He also has done the voice of Pete in several cartoons other than Jim Cummings being Pete in Goof Troop. But so you have Will Ryan in there as Rabbit, but you also have Hal Smith, who was the original owl in the classic film shorts. He came back to reprise his role as Owl, but he's also voicing Winnie the Pooh in that series. And once again, Adventures in Odyssey fans will recognize Hal Smith as the original John Avery Whittaker before he passed away.
Hmm.
Yeah, these were full-size costumes, except for Dumbo, who was apparently having to walk around on all fours. or maybe he was made of two little people. I don't know. But, most of the characters were okay, but Dumbo was scary looking.
Yeah, and that is the only time that Dumbo has actually had a speaking voice. And another fun fact, that speaking voice for Dumbo, and then my very first guest on Neverland, was Katie Lee, who would go on later to be Sonny Gummy, Rolf on The Muppet Babies, Honker Muddlefoot on Darkwing Duck, and also known on Adventures in Odyssey as Connie.
Well, hopefully she didn't have to get inside the suit.
No, they just were voices. Thank goodness for them.
Okay.
I think she told me some details about the people getting into the suit, that they were like trained acrobats and dancers and mimes that were in those suits to kind of pantomime everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Because the trunk, you could tell, was a human arm. Because it could pick up things and stuff, you know. But... the flying effects were not great. It was obvious blue screen. Yeah. He was still obviously standing on solid ground, you know, and they would just tilt the camera to make it look like he was turning and stuff.
Gotta love the effects of the 80s, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but as a kid, you just kind of suspend disbelief a lot easier. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it.
I didn't. But I needed something to watch. Like I said, it was either that or doing dishes or chores or something like that. And it's like, Dumbo Circus, they're coming to visit. You don't want to miss it. They're coming to visit you. And that was it. I'm 46 and it's still drilled into my head.
I don't remember any of the Dumbo Circus, but I definitely remember Pooh Corner.
Oh, yeah.
My sisters would watch it. So
Heck, I got into watching Pooh Corner before I'd even seen any of the Winnie the Pooh half-hour bits or the movie version where they put all the half-hour bits together. But that was my gateway bridge to eventually watching the Saturday morning Winnie the Pooh cartoon. What was the New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh?
Hmm.
I loved that show.
Yeah, it's a trip, the stuff that they would put on there. It's almost like they said, It's almost like when websites first started, like a lot of people just registered a domain and put up a website real quick. and it's like they did that here. They're like, oh, it's cable and satellite and we need a channel. So we got content, right? Yeah. Let's just put something up and we'll make a logo. I mean, their logo looked like a flag. It had Mickey Mouse's, you know, the three circles, yeah. You know, the ears and the mouth or the face. And then it had lines coming out from it in the shape of an old television screen. And now they've got the little thing that they have the characters draw with their wands or whatever. But it's in the corner.
Are they still doing the character drawings? I thought maybe they moved away from that, too. And they've got
You know what? I don't know, because I haven't watched Disney Channel for a while. But back in the day, they had a million different flags. I don't know what you call them, but these images of that same thing. And there's a lot of great shows, too.
Yeah.
A lot of... I used to enjoy, you could tell they weren't made by Disney, right. But they were kind of like half the crap on Netflix nowadays.
Yeah, they had the Care Bear series on there for a while, even.
They had Edison Twins. Did you guys ever watch the Edison Twins? It was a Canadian show.
I don't remember watching it, but I remember hearing of it.
Yeah, it was. I got that theme song right on play in my head right now, too, but... these two fraternal twins were science. It was a science show. And one of the earlier, you know, shows didn't have to be educational back then, but right. This one definitely was. And they would always solve problems using science. And so I always enjoyed that part. And I also found out what fraternal twins were because, you know, they were brother and sister and they didn't look like each other. So, but another Canadian favorite was Thunder Bay, and
I remember that one.
It was a little bit like Baywatch, except it was an old man and his daughter, and they had a fast boat, and they would just go around and solve crimes and stuff like that.
This must have been the inspiration for Thunder in Paradise with Hulk Hogan.
maybe so. Thunder Bay was cool, and it was that was the 80s though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That you had a vehicle. And you had a cool vehicle, whether it was a car, a helicopter, a talking car.
Or a teenager that turned into a car.
Yeah, anything like that. And then you solved crime with
right.
it. Right. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Because that's fast. What you do.
Yeah, you solve crime you in about crime. 30 minutes.
Yeah, and as long as you're all teenagers and you have a wacky dog.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Hanna-Barbera actually hit that formula at least 3 times.
Yeah, that's right. They had DTV too. I don't know if you guys
loved DTV.
About that.
Yes.
Yeah. It was in my house. We never watched it because I knew somewhere in my head, I knew my mom would not approve because it was secretly MTV because they would play old, you know, rock and roll classics and then play cartoons in sync with them.
Yeah.
That's right.
And some modern pop songs at the time.
Heart of Rock and Roll is the beat, you know, stuff like that. I just remember these very soft, you know, nice, clean songs. But in my household, anything that didn't have the Christian word stamped on it was of the devil.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
You know, I had to sneak around to watch DTV.
And I remember when DTV would have occasionally a primetime special on a network. And I actually, the only DTV I can find anywhere is the Halloween special that was on ABC. And they had all these different songs. They did Thriller and Ghostbusters. And Ghostbusters is great because they did put it in sync to The Lonely Ghosts with Mickey, Donald, and Goofy.
Cool.
And then at the end of it, they did Your Mythic Sweet Dreams to say, well, we want to make sure you don't have any nightmares. But they even did Evil Woman by ELO, and they did a focus on some of the great women villains of Disney. And oh, man.
I remember Daydream Believer. They would play that, which is one of my favorite songs now. But back then, they put all the Sleeping Beauty pictures in there where she was asleep. And and cursed, and so it just scared the crap out of me. Because out of all of the animated movies, that one has the creepiest animation, if you really think about it from a kid's point of view. Because they went for a different style. They went for the moving illustration look, and so everything's very stylized and all the character has sharp features and stuff like that, and her laying there and being purple instead of the right color, you know, and Daydream Believer and the Homecoming Queen. I didn't know what any of that meant. It just scared me to death. I was overprotected as a child.
Yeah.
If you can't tell.
So. You're overprotected, yet they still let you watch The Exorcist.
No, I never got to say. I watched that when I was a grown man.
Oh, and it freaked you out as bad as you've told that story?
Yeah. Wow. In my story, I was in my 20s and scared the out of me.
That's okay. Well, see, I still haven't actually. I've seen the ending of it when he falls down the stairs, but I haven't watched any of the rest of it because I get grossed out, and that's my thing. I don't like gross things, and the idea of flinging the pea soup around the room, just like, no, I don't really want to see that.
If you remember my story, what happened is I started watching it with two friends. They fell asleep, and so I was alone in this dark room with this thing going, and I was too scared to move to go hit the stop button on the VCR.
Wow.
And so I was in this debacle where I couldn't move. I couldn't move at all. And then I heard the tapping on the glass near my ear, and my life was changed forever.
Yeah, you were replaced by an alien, you know, because I was tapping on the door, say, James, come with us.
Come with us.
Come with us.
I would have turned my head, but I couldn't after what I had seen on the screen.
You were afraid your head would spin all the way around?
Yeah, like it wouldn't stop. And then I'd be in, like, I'd gone too far. My mom was right about everything. It is of the devil. Oh, my gosh.
Now, I wonder what it was like for the first time for you going to a Disney park and going on the Haunted Mansion.
My mom loved the Haunted Mansion. Really? She was a hypocrite and a half. Yeah. She loved it. She I remember, though, she would pray as we went through it. She would pray, like, so that the demons wouldn't get us or whatever.
Right, because they are just waiting on that ride to jump onto your car.
Yeah, and then at the end, when the Hall of Mirrors, you know, where the ghost will follow you home. No, they won't in the name of Jesus. So, that's right. You think I'm kidding?
Oh, get out of this vehicle.
Oh, man. I totally want your mom to see. There was this fan film made by this group, pretty high quality, that it's about a hitchhiking ghost actually following this family home.
Oh, wow.
And it's a little scary because he wants to come home and haunt them. So it's pretty fun. But your mom would be calling the name of Jesus through that whole thing.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a chance. They would never make it out of the ride.
You know,
she loved the little tiny Barbie doll sized ghost lady.
Oh, at the end,
right above the top when you go there.
Yeah, I would remember. She would say, "She's so beautiful," and I'm like, "This is scary."
That's like the first ghost you see,
or the last one.
Yes, it's the last one. Like, they have the little Leota there. I think they have a full-size one over at Disneyland as you're leaving.
Yeah.
But I've never been to Disneyland, only Walt Disney World. So.
Yeah.
But that's Little Leota because it was originally modeled after the Leota that was going to be having her head in the ball there as Madame Leota, which that was very impractical to have a live person the whole time. So eventually they've turned it into the Leota now. And now they actually have a real ghost, of course, in that ball floating around, of course. That's what it is.
Yeah, so
it's a totally real ghost. You know, the Haunted Mansion is real, everybody. Okay,
it's
real.
It is. If you ask my mom, but
now you know.
You better pray the hitchhiking ghost doesn't follow you home.
Did you ever hear of a show called Kids Incorporated?
Yes, I watched the heck out of that.
Was Channel though? Was it?
It was Disney Channel.
Yeah, Disney Channel. I was on Saturday mornings later on, but I think Disney Channel had it first.
Yeah,
I loved Kids Incorporated.
There are pop stars now that were on there.
Yeah, Fergie.
You know, back then. Fergie,
What is it, Black Eyed Peas or whatever?
Yeah.
K-I-D-S Kids Incorporated.
We're going to have fun.
And the only song I remember them doing on that was, other than when they had David Hasselhoff on the show, but they did the song, Metal, Heavy Metal, Metal, Heavy, Heavy Metal. That was the song. It was that bad. Oh, then I remember.
That's so cool.
They had a bully.
I remember that they hung out at a place called The Palace, but one of the letters was out, so it was just called The Place.
Yeah.
So that was a weird thing.
I do remember at least one other song when they had like the little black kid there had like a bully or something, and he does a song as a solo thing, sings "I Need a Hero" from Footloose. That was all him because he needed a hero to save him from the evil bully or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't remember much about it, but I remember the theme song.
Yeah,
and I remember the look of it, and I would be amiss not to go from that right into the Mickey Mouse Club, woo-hoo, the new Mickey Mouse Club.
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, Mickey Mouse, rock the house. I'm Mickey Mouse, rock the house. M-I-C.
I had a crush on one of them.
Well, there was some Britney? Pop stars in there, too. Yeah, Britney, Christina Aguilera, what's his name?
Justin Timberlake
was in there.
Didn't Ryan Gosling, wasn't he one of them?
I did, too. It was early. But the original group that did the new Mickey Mouse Club started a band, and they put it up for a vote of what the band's name was going to be called. And the name became The Party. So if you get it on Google and look up the band The Party, you will find the Mouseketeers that I was familiar with.
Wow.
They only made one album that I know of, and I owned it on tape.
So, no and way. You will freely admit that.
I was a fan. It was the closest thing to teenage culture I had, you know, in my day.
Yeah. The one thing with like Mouseketeers that I always like to point out that I find interesting is Walt Disney handpicked Annette Funicello as a Mouseketeer and pushed her forward saying, you know what, this girl has something. She's going to be huge. And somewhere, I think, between there, because Annette Funicello was the nice girl next door and was somebody you could put as a teenage idol and didn't have any problems, then you look at some of the stars of High School Musical and you've got some that have been, you know, gotten nude photos leaked online and all kinds of stuff. So you had Walt, the way he would pick a teenage star compared to the modern Disney when they pick somebody and then suddenly they go off the rails like Miley Cyrus, you know?
Yeah, Miley.
There's definitely something missing.
Vanessa Hutchins from, what is it? Witches of Waverly Place. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking about the other girl that does Sorry Not Sorry.
I don't know. There's some more recent one that's been trying very hard to shake off her Disney Channel image.
Yeah, they all go crazy.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Yeah,
but you know who didn't was the voice of Kim Possible. She was on Even Stevens, and then she went to Kim Possible, and now she's gone. Nobody knows who she is. She's probably raising a family somewhere.
Could be.
But that's what happens. If you don't go crazy, you just get forgotten. And well, not saying you should go crazy.
Voice actors sometimes do get forgotten until, you know, they pass away. Then you get the whole list of all these different characters they did. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I loved all their work and I never knew it was them. Which is there is a newer trend, though, of people starting to recognize voice actors and they're starting to appear at conventions and stuff and realizing that, hey, I love everything this person's done. I've just never seen them before, but I've heard them in everything.
Right. Well, speaking of Disney darlings, John's favorite one would be Haley Mills.
Oh,
that's true. And I had a crush on her as a kid.
There was a show that started on the Disney Channel called Good Morning, Miss Bliss that most people know as Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it began as a story where she was the central character, and it was about her and the teachers and Zach Morris and a few other kids that didn't make it over to the Saved by the Bell.
I think it was Zach Screech and some other kids that were that didn't carry over.
They were the same types of kids, just not the same characters. They had a Latino kid and they had a smart Alec girl and, you know, all this stuff. I don't think any minorities were listed in the original.
Well, there was a Hispanic guy.
Yeah, the Hispanic kid. Yeah. But other than that, everybody was white bread. But it was good. It was a good show.
Yeah, the thing is, I can't stand Saved by the Bell, but I liked Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
And my son, I went to his he went to a new school this year, and we went and sat through all the different classes that he's going to go to, and he has a teacher named Miss Bliss. And I so badly wanted to ask her if she's ever been saved by the bell before.
Oh.
And so Jay asked her. Yeah, I forced him to go ask her if she knew about the show. And she says, yes, but I've never seen it. And so there's no point in making any jokes now. So
And Haley Mills, I remember as a kid, and I still haven't seen the original Parent Trap all the way. I've seen like bits and pieces.
What?
But her being in that.
They had that on loop on the Disney Channel, too, man.
Yes, they did.
Pollyanna.
I don't think it was until like later, as I've gotten older, what is it? Summer Magic, I believe. It's her and Burl Ives and stuff.
Yes.
And when she gets to like that older teenager, says, wow, she was a cutie pie after a while. I'm allowed to say cutie pie. Doggone it. I'm a lost boy. I say cutie pie.
John's liked her. John liked her in Pollyanna, so.
Yeah, she was a bit younger then, but ooh, she was a teenage heartthrob.
He was young as well,
yeah.
But I still like teasing him.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm not some kind of weirdo.
Of course, you like Pollyanna. You're just such a good guy.
Pollyanna got her legs broke at the end, so
right. She fell off a tree or something.
Spoilers.
Right?
She sure did. Yeah,
I still haven't seen that movie.
They left you kind of hanging there. Yeah, Pollyanna gets injured, and then the movie's over, and you're like, what? But that's all right.
And then, of course, because she can't fix her legs, they had to take her out and shoot her.
They should have.
Yeah. Well, speaking of getting shot, remember when they used to put like Old Yeller on?
Yes.
They had a lot of those movies.
I was going to watch that movie one time, but I knew how it ended. So I was like, no, I can't watch and I can't do this.
Yeah. When it was on, I never did that. Yeah. They would show Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Reruns.
Right. The horse.
Yeah.
Other movies that they did a lot with
As
a lot of Annette Funicello movies. Yeah. Fred Murray, I think
Fred
it was.
Fred McMurray, yes.
There's Fred McMurray, right.
That darn cat, the absent-minded professor.
That was the original.
The flubber,
Yes.
Yep. And the second one, the ugly dachshund.
Oh, wow.
That was a good one. Hot Lead Cold Feet.
Oh, yes.
Never saw that one.
Yep. I have that on DVD. I haven't watched it yet, but I've got a DVD.
And the spinoff Apple Dumpling Gang. And the Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again. All the Herbie movies. I loved every single one of those, especially the one where Herbie ends up in a house with other talking, like a talking trolley and other talking vehicles.
Wow.
And they're the last firehouse. This Mr. Oh, I can't even remember his name, but he wants to tear down the firehouse so he can build this massive building. And Herbie comes and saves the day. And, you know, it's all live action stuff. But there's this great scene where the bad guy imagines he's having a bad dream about Herbie chasing him on the outside of a building on a ledge. And Herbie makes this weird right angle turn, 90 degree turn on the edge of the building. But, Herbie goes to Monte Carlo.
Herbie goes bananas.
Where he was called Ocho because
Ocho, that's right.
Which I believe I think it was called Jody Herbie Foster Goes Bananas was the one he went down to the Monte Carlo and was in Mexico and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they called him Ocho. Had the little boy.
Ocho.
Da, 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 da. I remember the little music for that one.
63, right?
Yeah.
6 + 3 = 8, and so they called him Ocho. Yeah.
6 + 3 = 9, but 6 and 2 is what you're looking for.
Five and 2.
And I'll do math, all right? Lay off.
Math is hard.
You mentioned Jodie Foster movies.
Yes.
Candleshoe.
Candleshoe, Escape from Witch Mountain.
Yeah.
I remember Freaky Friday. I don't remember the other ones.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday was one of them
I'd
for
like
sure.
To be you for
and a bunch
day.
Of Kurt Russell movies,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. The Computer wore tennis shoes.
The man with the computer. That was the one. I couldn't remember that one before the
Which
show.
Which Chuck totally ripped that movie off. Really, if you think about it, Chuck, did you see the series Chuck where basically he gets the CIA and NSA computer downloaded into his brain?
Yes.
The computer wore tennis shoes. It's the same thing.
Shazam.
Well, there was a Disney Channel remake of that movie, or made for TV movie as well. And the guy got the internet downloaded into his brain instead. And I remember thinking when I was a little older, I'm like, I hope he didn't get the whole internet. Holy crap.
There's
a walking pervo. What kind of shape would you be in with all those tons of gigaterabytes of bad stuff?
All the other stuff out there.
Yeah, the dark web downloaded in your brain. You just have to kill yourself.
Suddenly I'm thinking of the Riddler in Batman Forever. Little white lies. Yes. So you'd have all your passwords and all your stuff. Wow. That's a frightening idea, though. You could make a complete supervillain out of that, or someone's brain had the entire internet in it, because then they would know everything.
But the trick was that the internet wasn't perfect, and that ended up being the big thing at the end, is that there were mistakes in the internet. That not everything on the internet is true.
Imagine that.
He got to where he was trying to recall things, and he would answer wrong because the internet was flawed. And I thought that was a good, for such a cheap little flimsy movie, it was a pretty good way to balance him out as a character. He wasn't flawless. So,
And one of the nice things though,
still
about
dial up too, right?
Say what?
It was still dial up too, the internet, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. When you start thinking about a math problem, and you'd hear the tones in his brain.
You've got mail. So,
One of the nice things about the Disney Channel is when they would put an animated feature out in a movie theaters. Eventually, it would land on the Disney Channel. Yeah, and you could watch it.
That's true. I think that's how I got to see not a night on Bald Mountain, but the Fantasia. I actually got to see the whole thing on the Disney Channel because
without commercial interruption, too.
They put Roger Rabbit on there, too.
Yeah.
That's how I saw Roger Rabbit. But there was a lot of stuff that I don't know that was in the main theaters, like Flight of the Navigator. Was that ever in theaters?
I saw it in theater at least three times.
Because that one I watched a billion times on Disney Channel.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I've heard something a long time ago that they were going to maybe remake that one. Which
that would be a cool one.
But
that
would like
be
to
hard because there wasn't a lot of story to it.
Right.
But the whole idea of him being gone for 5 seconds and 8 years has passed, you know, and his little brother was bigger than him. And Sarah Jessica Parker was looking fine. She was my first crush in a movie. She came in with that robot to give him food when he was trapped in the NASA room, and I was just like, and nowadays people call her a horse lady and all that. And I just remember her from the witches movie.
Yes. Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. And she's so cute in that. Yeah. And I just have a soft spot in my heart for her because she was in Flight of the Navigator and she had poofy 80s hair and she had a robot.
And she had to explain Twisted Sister.
Yes. Yes, she did.
Oh man.
It was a great movie though. The way the ship would turn at 90 degrees and turn into a bullet shaped looking thing.
And
so
Pee-wee Herman was the driver.
Yes, and I didn't know who Pee-wee Herman was as a kid. I never saw the show. Kids at school would talk about him, but I had no idea. And so it was just that was Pee-wee Herman to me. Yeah. That voice was you are the navigator, and then, hey, what's going on?
That wasn't really Paul Rubens that did that voice though, was it?
It was. No, that was really Paul Rubens.
It really?
Yeah, it really was.
No way.
I thought, what am I?
But he was perfect.
There was like
for
a
that
download
part.
Or something that happened.
Yeah. They merged their minds and seems like I downloaded a little bit more than I was supposed to or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it got connected to a kid's brain. So that was spot on. Nicely done.
Dang, he's a good voice guy. Wow. John's got it, man.
My goodness.
Speaking of movies, any of you guys saw The Blue Yonder?
I remember that one. That was like a sci-fi thing,
right? It was one of my first sci-fi movies, actually. It was a kid that his grandfather was working on a time machine, and the kid gets in it, and it spins around super fast and takes him back to meet his great-grandfather, who was supposed to be the first person to fly over the Atlantic or something like that. And he's trying to get him to not go, and it's got the guy that played Keys in E.T. in it.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name right now.
He was a big name at the time.
Yeah, it's got him and Huckleberry something was the kid's name. And it was a great one. It was just – I remember they pumped it up forever and ever and ever. And I was just so waiting to see a time travel movie. It may have been my first one. And it was great. But the worst movie ever created by Disney, the scariest piece of crap, that is beautiful movie. It is a beautiful looking movie, But the scariest thing I have ever seen was called Return to Oz. And it was on Disney.
Yeah.
And it was scary. Mumbi could change her heads and had a whole cabinet full of extra heads that Dorothy had to sneak through. No, the girl. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Dudes with the wheels for the hands and the feet.
Yeah, the wheelers. Yeah.
Okay.
See, and I've never seen this movie, but my wife has talked about it. But everybody, the first thing they talk about, what freaks them out, they always go to the lady with the interchanging heads.
Oh, it's so scary. TikTok is awesome. Jack, the pumpkin head dude, is amazing. They make a moose-headed bed that can fly. it's great. And then the bad guy is Mumbi. This, oh, she's so scary. It gave me nightmares. Yeah, she's beautiful. And all of the heads are beautiful, but they're all asleep in these glass cabinets. And then they all wake up and they're this should not be on the Disney Channel.
I hope it's on Disney Plus, though.
Actually,
I want to watch it.
You should watch it.
My mom actually restricted us from watching that after seeing it.
Oh,
because it had some neat parts of it. I never understood why Dorothy was younger.
Yeah, she was a lot younger.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, wait a second.
Because the first Dorothy was probably 26 when she was playing that role. But yeah,
Return to Oz.
Return to Oz, dude. Took them forever to make a sequel. Yeah. It was the scariest thing in the world.
Well, that fits more with the books, though. The books are a little freaky and weird.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I've gone through two of the books. I've got a complete set of all of them in I've got like big, thick hardcover books that have like three of the novels each. I haven't read all of them, but I remember listening to audio versions of The Original Wizard of Oz and Return to Oz, and there's some weird stuff in there. So, But speaking of weird stuff... like later in the 90s, they had a series. I think it was in the vein of Pooh Corner, but it was all humans and nobody was wearing a weird animal costume. They were wearing weird costumes, but they had Adventures in Wonderland. And they had this like teenage girl who was Alice, who whenever she had a problem, she would go through her mirror and go to Wonderland. And they had this benevolent red queen of hearts who would always help her with her problems. And Tweedledee and Tweedledum were a couple of these rappers that were kind of awesome. And it was actually kind of cool. But it came on early in the morning, and I remember seeing it mainly because my mother was babysitting this little girl who lived next door. But before she went off to school, you know, she'd come over here because her parents had to leave early for work. And before I went off to high school, I remember this show would come on, and I actually kind of got into it. It's like it's this kind of dopey show if you think about it, but it was kind of fun.
they would also play old stuff. Like I remember seeing Zorro. I don't know that I would have seen any of the Zorro, the old black and white Zorros, if it hadn't been for Disney Channel. And those were great when you had nothing else to watch. I love those. And then they had crap that they would just make up, I think, just to fill time. I don't know if anybody remembers Mousercise.
Yes!
I remember Mousercise.
I have that album digitally. In fact, I think I still have the LP on it.
That lady was the closest thing to a bikini model I had ever seen as a child. And so I was all about Mousercise because she was wearing spandex, you know, and stuff. And it was terrible.
Apparently you never saw the 20-minute workout either then.
No. Just Mousercise.
Leotards and leg warmers, right?
Yes. Yeah. Fully covered, totally, you know, clean and everything. But that was the closest thing to me. That was it. So I was all about Mousercise. Never did a single exercise, but I would watch her do it. And she had costume characters up on the stage and kids with her and doing the whole thing. So
I remember that one too. My goodness, Mousercise.
Now, speaking of scary things, was Something Wicked This Way Comes, was that something that they put
on? That was on Disney Channel. Yes,
that was a Disney movie.
My mom refused to let me watch that.
But
I remember the ads for it, and I was like, I was kind of interested in seeing that. My mom said, no, you're not going to watch that.
I was like, not
interested.
It's on
the Disney Channel. It's got to be good, right?
Yeah, I was not interested until I was at my Boy Scout Halloween party, and they played that movie. And I watched it, and oh my gosh, I couldn't even go down the hall to the bathroom.
Wow.
I just sat there until I got all the way home to go to the bathroom because I was so scared. Because there's a carousel that this guy gets on and becomes a child, and they end up running it too far, and he gets old and turns into this crusty old dead thing, and it's just so scary.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, there was an error from like 79 into the early 80s where Disney tried to make some darker films like The Black Hole and Return to Oz.
Black Cauldron. The Black Hole was one of my favorites. I love that.
Yeah. And then Something Wicked This Way Comes. And then The Watcher in the Woods.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Watcher in the Woods. Yeah. I didn't see that either.
Bed Knobs and Broomsticks was the scariest thing I could handle.
Really?
Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. Yeah.
What was scary about that?
Because there were headless suits of armor.
Really?
And she was a witch. Okay. And Angela Lansbury, right?
That's
right. Yeah.
That's a delightful old movie.
I know, but it's scary. She was...
Okay.
So, you know, I told you I was sheltered. I was scared. I was scared of the freaking book, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
What?
Because there was an Ugg under the rug, and it was in the basement, and then there were things that were behind your bed and stuff like that, and when you get home by yourself in your own room, the Dr. Seuss characters are scary looking, you know.
How did you handle Grover and the Monster at the end of this book?
I don't know. I think I was terrified up until the end. I was with him the whole way. I'm like, I'm just gotta, curiosity forces me to turn the page, but I know I'm going to regret it. So I was tricked.
Okay. So. Well, so the continuation of this really though would go into when they would start to do the Disney Sunday night movie on ABC. That was like a continuous, it was like part of the Disney Channel had escaped onto network television. And so they would have stuff like Mr. Boogity around Halloween. Speaking of scary movies.
Mr. Boogity.
Boogity,
boogity, boo.
And, you know, this is all stuff like when Disney Plus comes out in November, and I've already paid for my, I think I've paid for like 3 years in advance with my D23 membership. So I am ready for that. And I hope that all this content we've talked about is going to be on Disney Plus. That's my hope.
Yes. That would be so great.
That would be great, because then we can watch all these old goofy shows. I will sit there and watch Pooh Corner.
My kids have a fascination with TV shows from the last 20 years or so. I mean, she has gone through, they've both watched Boy Meets World from beginning to end. And now I've got her on X-Files. She's watching the X-Files.
Oh, cool.
And she loves the old shows. And she asks me, she says, Dad, she didn't call me James. Dad, why don't they make shows like this anymore? And I said, I think, first of all, everything has to be educational now and have some sort of redeeming moral to it. And that kind of makes all the kids shows have to be a certain way. And they're all very cookie cutterish. And I said, I don't know. I just think everything that was new and unique was done all at one time. And now, you know, it's either too edgy, like they have to put nudity in it to make it for adults. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not accessible to kids, or they make it too cookie cutterish and the kids are too squeaky clean and perfect.
Yeah.
Which we know now leads to bad girls.
Now they have to be careful about offending people. Like, you know, even Friends now came under fire because of some of the humor. It was, well, you can't make jokes about those people. I'm like, you know what? Jokes, you can make a joke about anybody. You just have to learn to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Now everything's offensive.
Even The Office, right? You couldn't do The Office nowadays. Probably but it's still couldn't. A great show.
Yeah. There's a lot of shows that you can't really do, and now comedy isn't funny anymore. And now there's like this, the opposite is true, where you talk about where they go so extreme on what they'll do that, like, you have cable, and you might be surprised some of the stuff on a regular cable channel of what they can do once it hits, like, 7 o'clock or, you know, that they can, it's like, wow, they weren't allowed to say that on television before, or I wasn't allowed to see someone's backside, you know, which you can see on, like, FX now, and
Right.
So it's like they go too extreme. Either they're too just not funny because they're afraid of offending anyone, or they go too far the other direction. And so we're missing that nice entertainment that the classic Disney Channel was.
Thank God for the Disney Channel, because I never would have been able to see Honey, I Shrunk the Kids otherwise.
I saw that in the theater twice.
I was never allowed to go to the movies.
Wow.
That was another thing. And so Flight of the Navigator, Blue Yonder, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, these movies formed my early geekiness. I had a late start, but it really gave me a taste for, you know, the adventure films and the Star Wars stuff. I mean, I was a kid. I had Star Wars figures, but I didn't know who any of them were. Mm. And so Obi-Wan Kenobi was the Jawa's dad because he had the same outfit.
The robe, right. That's right.
And R2-D2 was a cannon because you could flip him up and he would shoot. Right. Yeah.
And then the gold man, you know.
The gold man had a record player on his stomach. That's what he did. He was like a DJ. And then the gonk droid was a Coke machine in my world. And then the one with all the arms that's at the very beginning, it's actually a figure that's worth a fortune if it's still in the box, but I had it and he was a gas station. So even though I think he was a medical droid, but
yeah.
Anyway,
I had that one too. Yeah. I would always pull his little arms out and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which one, like all the arms, because the only medical droid I can remember is Empire Strikes Back. There's a medical droid there.
I think that they did make a character, a figure for that guy. He had like the little microphone thing over his mouth sort of thing.
Yeah.
This guy, he was in line. The Jawas had put a line of droids out for Uncle Owen to look at, and he's in that line. And that may be the only time you see him.
Oh, but, like the weird looking spidery-ish sort of thing. Yeah, the right one has all these little limbs sticking off of him.
No, he's tall. He almost looks like a pole. Like a support beam, and he just has all these arms that stick out of him.
He always reminds me of a spider. I know which one. And it was kind of white colored, but it was like this weird, tall, skinny thing, and it had all these little arms coming off the bottom. Am I thinking the right thing?
Mine's dark. He was a dark.
Yeah, he had a dark black middle. Dude.
I see. I'm gonna have to look this up now.
Yeah.
I will slap him on the cover photo for this episode.
He'll be like, what's that all about?
Or slide about. See, you have to listen to the entire episode. But it's about time we wrap this up here. So yes, we are hoping for a lot of things that we remember from this are going to be on Disney Plus, and that somebody over at Disney Plus isn't afraid that people will be offended by something, because there's people offended by everything. Because it's that classic Disney Channel. It was something the whole family, you could get together, you could watch movies, you could watch ridiculous TV shows. And that's where my initial love of Disney really came from, is being able to watch the old movies and watch the TV shows and all that. And of course, it got compounded when I finally got a chance to go to the park back when I was in my 30s. I finally got a chance to go to the parks, even though I'd been wanting to go since I was a little kid watching Donald Duck. So I really hope Disney Plus lives up to classic Disney Channel, having all that content. So I would say crossing my fingers, but I know that wouldn't do any good. But you know what I mean?
This is my hopes. I've got high hopes. Absolutely high hopes.
So, but anyways, this has been fun. But once again, y'all can be found at, if you search for That Story Show, or your website is still NLCast, right?
Yeah.
You have a whole network of shows on there.
Yeah, we got 4 shows that we do right now, and you can check them out.
Oh, yeah.
NLCast.com.
And for anyone who's wondering, it's because they used to be known as Nobody's Listening, but then they realized a bunch of people were listening.
Yeah, we had to change it.
Alrighty. But anyway, so once again, this has been James. Say hello, James, again.
Hi.
And John.
Hello and farewell.
From That Story Show and many others.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.